chapter number 13. Romans chapter number 13. Stand with me, if you would. Romans chapter number 13. Preach a little bit of a different message this morning to you. It's going to be geared towards just recognizing all that has been done for us by those that we've just tried to honor a little bit just a moment ago. In case if you don't know, America is entering into her 250th year. And so July 4th, 2026 is going to be a celebration of 250 years. And so I don't know how to say the full word. It's 250 years. That's easier to say. And there's a big long word for it, but I don't know how to say it. Romans chapter 13. Here we find in this passage specifically, it tells us what our duty is to the government. And we referenced this several weeks ago when we had our first responder Sunday and we dealt with the police force and different things. But there's a specific verse that we're going to use as our text verse. And it's verse number 7. And the Bible says, "Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute. Custom," or "tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." The title of the message this morning is going to be that last phrase that you see in verse number 7, honor to whom honor. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for the Word of God. We thank you so much for our freedom. Thank you so much for the country that we live in. Lord, I know America is not what she should be. And I know America is not what many of us grew up in and what she used to be. But God, I'm so thankful that she's not what she could be. Lord, we are a free nation because our military has stood up against the communists, against the Nazis, against those that have tried to take away our freedoms, against the radical Islamists, so many. We thank you so much for our military, our servicemen and women. And we thank you so much for those that are even not here because they've given that ultimate price. They've paid the ultimate price for us to have the freedom we have today. Well, we're going to take a little bit of time. We're going to give honor to whom honor, as your word says. We're going to focus on some things in regards to our veterans this morning. But God, I pray that you'd help us not just to honor them on one day, but to spend our life every time we see them, every time we recognize them, just simply saying thank you. I know they didn't do it to receive a thank you. I know even if no one ever thanked them that they would willingly do it again. Because that's their heart. That's the drive and the passion that's in them. But Lord, help us as citizens of this great nation, as Christians, as people who are obedient to your word. Help us, Lord, to give honor to whom honor is due. Teach us something from your word. Help us to be able to see the need in the land today. We love you. We ask these things in your name. We pray. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. We go back to verse number 1. It says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." Here, Paul is addressing the issue there in Rome and even to the Roman Christians. The Roman government was a very carnal government, a very worldly government, a very anti-God government. And they were doing everything they could and in their power to persecute Christianity, especially during the first century here. You had different Roman dictators and Roman leaders like Diocletian and Nero and Emperor Tiberius and Claudius, and you had the ones that would take and they would try to destroy and persecute Christianity at every opportunity they could. There was a Roman emperor who at one time was persecuting Christianity, and he had taken every Christian that he had killed, he had resurrected them up onto a pole, and he had covered them or doused them in oil and kerosene, and he had lit them on fire to light his pathway in his garden at night. And so there are those that were trying to do everything they could to destroy Christianity at its birth and at its inception. But here Paul addresses the Christians that are scattered throughout Rome, and he tells them that our responsibility is to be subject to the higher powers that are there, because there is no power but of God. We need to understand that those that are in authority and those that are in power and those that are above us are the ones that God has put in authority. And because of that, in verse number 2, "Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God." And they that resist shall receive, shall to themselves receive damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. And so those that are in the authority, they are not a terror to the good works, but the ones that God has instilled in them, they are supposed to be a terror to evil works. Now, are there times where there's going to be a Nebuchadnezzar, or there's going to be an Ahab and a Jezebel, or there's going to be presidents like we've had that are anti-God and anti-Christian? Yes, there are going to be times where that is in place. But we as Christians, we are to be obedient. I heard a preacher say a few years ago, when Biden got elected, when God gives you a Nebuchadnezzar, then be a Daniel. Amen? And still open the window and still pray toward the east and still do the things that God has commanded you to do. But I want you to notice, look over in verse number 5. Wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. We have a duty and a responsibility to obey the authorities that God has given us so that we can know that we are right with God for our conscience sake. And then he says in verse 6, for this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. We, of course, we pay our taxes, and we understand that as we pay our taxes, the different government officials are able to receive their checks, and they're able to receive different benefits, and it's the same way that our military and our veterans get paid is through our taxes as well. We pay tribute so that they can be able to receive the different funding that they have, and even, of course, the disability and things that they get as far as the lifetime checks comes from the fact that we pay our taxes. So because of that, verse 7, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom. The words tribute and custom refer to our financial obligation as citizens. And then you'll notice fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Fear and honor are then our social obligations, or our responsibilities. So we pay our taxes to be able to fund the work of the military, but we also want to make sure that we are respecting them in every area that they operate as well. All right, can I get an amen? Are we following along? Okay, so we're just following the word of God here. Tribute and custom are in our financial obligations, and then fear and honor are in our social obligation, meaning we are to respect those who have given so much, so that we can have the liberties and the freedoms that we have today. And here, look at verse number 8. I know many times, and I've talked with many veterans, and we have several here in the church, as you've seen this morning. And I know many have the mentality of they did it because they love our country and that we don't owe them anything. And here, verse number 8 addresses that. It says, owe no man anything, but he says, but to love one another. And we do owe them our love. And we do owe them our respect. We do owe them our honor. Are we following along? Okay? This is what your Bible says. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. The Bible tells us over in John chapter number 15, verse number 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now we know that Jesus Christ showed the greatest love in all the world by giving the greatest sacrifice, which was himself on the cross of Calvary. But next to Jesus Christ, understand that our military show that great sacrifice each and every day when they serve our country. And many of our veterans in here, they have shown that love. They've shown that sacrifice in all the different areas of their lives. And some, as we stated a moment ago, some have given that ultimate sacrifice. There's three things I want you to notice this morning in reference to why we should honor our veterans. Why we should honor our veterans. First, I want you to notice we should honor our veterans because of their stand. We ought to honor our veterans. We ought to honor those that have done so much for our country, that have given so much for our country because of their stand. Understand that every freedom we have today here in America was provided for us by someone else. Amen. Every freedom we have was provided for us by someone else. Understand that we have this great nation, and we are not a democracy. We are a constitutional republic that is governed by the Constitution of the United States of America. And our constitutional republic was set in place by those who did not want to live under a totalitarian dictatorship that was called England and King George. And we understand that. We had the American Revolution, and then we have our founding fathers that established the different Continental Congress, and they started with the Articles of Federation, and then they began to merge and get ready to build the Constitution of the United States of America. And they dealt with our Bill of Rights and what our basic rights were as citizens and what America was going to stand for. And the very first freedom that we have, of course, is the freedom of speech and freedom of religion. Because our founding fathers understood that we were going to be a nation that was founded on Jesus Christ and Judeo-Christian principles. But the freedoms that we have here today in this country, we need to understand that they weren't just given to us, that we didn't just earn them or deserve them because we were born in America. No, they were fought for, they were bled for, and they were died for by somebody else. Somebody has provided the freedoms that we have today. Also, we need to understand that every freedom we have as Americans is because somebody has taken a stand to, and been willing to defend those very freedoms. You see, it's one thing to have a set of freedoms and a set of rights that are listed in the Constitution, and we can take in that Constitution, and I've been to Washington, D.C., and I've gone to the National Archives, and I've seen our Constitution, I've seen the Bill of Rights, I've seen the different amendments, I've read those, I've looked at those, and I've been in the museums that are there. And it's one thing to have those there and to have those on display, but they mean absolutely nothing if they are not put into application. They mean absolutely nothing if there is nobody there to defend them. And as a matter of fact, when our veterans, when they joined the military, they took an oath to defend and to stand for the Constitution of the United States of America. And we need to understand that we have our freedoms today because there was somebody that took a stand and they were willing to defend it. You know, today there are those who want to destroy our nation. Whether or not you're aware of it, whether or not you pay attention to it, there are those today who want to destroy our nation. There are those that want to destroy our way of life. There are those today who want to destroy our freedoms. You can look throughout history, and we know back during World War II, the Nazis were trying to take over the world. But we look at today, we still have enemies of America. We still have enemies of liberty. We still have enemies of freedom. Now, today they may not be as vocal and they may not be as vibrant as we would see with the Nazis back in World War II. Today they may be a little bit more subtle and they may have crept into our colleges, they may have been educating our young people, and they may have worked their way up into the government offices as well here in America. And by the way, when they took an oath to defend the Constitution, our veterans said they would defend the Constitution against both foreign and domestic terrorists. Amen. Both foreign and domestic, and there may become a day where we have to stand against those domestic ones. Understand the enemies today of our liberty and of our freedom are still the communists. They're still the socialists. There's still different terrorist organizations like Antifa. And there's still radical Islam that has crept into America today. I don't know if you paid attention at all, but understand radical Islam is on the rise here in America. You have states that are implementing Sharia law. States like Michigan, states like Minnesota, who both put different congressmen and senators in office that are Muslims. And that believe in the application of Sharia law. They have towns and they have areas in their towns that have been wholly given over to Islam. We have one of the major cities here in America that just elected their first Muslim mayor, New York City. It's been 24 years since 9/11. And we said we would never forget, but guess what? They've forgotten. It was the same Islamic religion that destroyed the two towers, might I remind you. I don't know why those that were running against him didn't post signs and billboards everywhere of the Twin Towers, reminding the nation, reminding the city of what had happened. But did you know that also in Texas, Sharia law has been something they've been battling? That's right on our doorstep. Yes, that's in Texas. Deep South, in the Bible Belt. Understand Sharia law is sweeping across areas of our country and many are even flaunting its support. And they try to participate in this thing they call the National Hijab Day. Many of you have heard about it. On February 1st, all throughout the world, there's over 140 countries that try to recognize and celebrate Islam. And they look at wearing a hijab as a fashion statement, but what they don't realize, it is a symbol of repression against women. Right. Amen. I got one person that agrees with me. Many of you veterans, you've seen it firsthand, and you know that. Yes, sir. And we see that happening today in our country and around us. But today, understand that here in America, the only thing standing between America and radical Islam and Sharia law is our military. It's our military. By the way, and our Second Amendment, praise God. Our military men and women have stood for our freedom and our right to exist as a nation. And we should honor them because they have chosen to stand and defend this nation and also to stand and defend us when many times we couldn't. Understand that when you were a child and you were going living your life with no cares in this world and when you thought that everything was gravy, somebody was fighting for your freedom halfway across the world. And even last night when you laid your head on a pillow, somebody didn't get to have the evening with their family because they were fighting for our freedom. And it's happening all over the world today. The Bible says we're to give honor to whom honor. And I believe we ought to honor our veterans, number one, because of their stand. I think secondly, we ought to honor our veterans, secondly, because of their struggles. Because of their struggles. Now listen to me. Again, I said it's going to be a little bit of a different message, but I want you to be able to understand some of what they're going through. We cannot begin to imagine many of the struggles that our veterans went through when they fought for our freedoms and the things that they had to endure, and many of them are still enduring. And many of you that are veterans, you have sleepless nights and you have restless nights because there's images that you can't get out of your head. Because there are things that you had to do that no human being should ever have to do. Because there are things that you've experienced that you don't want to talk to anyone about. You see, understand, young people, understand that being in the heat of battle isn't like playing Call of Duty. All right? It's not like playing Call of Duty where if you get shot, then, oh, you're just going to respawn in 5 seconds in another location. Sorry, that's not how the real life works. That's not how the real world works. Understand. Here, many of our veterans that are here in this room, they've literally watched their comrades die next to them. They've been in the foxhole with someone that was bleeding out. They've seen friends that have gotten blown up. Many of you had to sleep in the sand. You had to sleep in the rain. You walked day and night in the sun and in the heat. You've had to survive even in the jungle, all while living in fear of death or injury, not knowing if you were going to be able to make it back home. And there's a real struggle that our veterans are faced with. There's a real struggle. Our government and our medical offices have began to define it as PTSD. And for those of you that don't know, that's called post-traumatic stress disorder. And yes, there was a lot of trauma, but labeling it with stress is a very, very small caliber word for what it really is. And those of you that have gone through it, you know that. Post-traumatic stress disorder. I looked it up and there's some common symptoms of PTSD. There's intense feelings of distress when you're reminded of traumatic events. And by the way, I'm not trying to reopen those wounds this morning. That's not my intent. I want my intent for revealing this is so that everybody else around you understands what you're going through and understands what you're experiencing. Because I think for us to be able to honor our veterans, we've got to understand where they're coming from. And we've got to understand what they've been through. Now, we may never fully comprehend everything because our minds cannot process certain things that we cannot see and that we cannot experience. And sometimes your minds won't be able to process things unless you experience it yourself. But we can begin to empathize a little bit. Common symptoms are intense feelings of distress when you're reminded of traumatic events. Some other symptoms, extreme physical reactions to reminders of trauma, such as nausea and sweating and even a pounding heart. PTSD shows itself by invasive and upsetting memories of a tragedy. You wake up with night sweats and with nightmares, or as they call them, night terrors. You have flashbacks of the event like it's happening all over again, and you could be even in a trance where you're experiencing those things all over again. Sometimes PTSD shows itself by you having a loss of interest in life and in daily activities. And some of our veterans have taken their lives because of this. Some of you have gone through PTSD and you felt emotionally numb and detached from society. And some of you may have even avoided certain activities, thoughts, and even places that may remind you of a certain tragedy because of the fear of that switch being turned back on. It shows itself by depression. Or PTSD it comes into your life by depression and by anxiety, overwhelming anxiety. Sometimes even traumatic brain injuries or TBIs cause PTSD. There are chronic pains that you'll suffer with. There's physical injuries that you have. Understand that our veterans, they didn't go on a vacation and go and visit parts of the world to be able to go and see great things while they were there. Now, yes, they had the opportunity to go and see different locations. And while they were there, Brother Ron served in the Philippines. Brother Brandon, I know you've been over to the Middle East and you got to see a lot of the different areas in Saudi Arabia and different things there. Brother Throw, you got to go to Germany and got to even go see Switzerland and see the different castles. And there were great events that you got to see while you were in those locations, and you took advantage of those opportunities, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's a way to be able to cope with the things that you've experienced. Those long nights, those early mornings, those nights waiting in a tarmac at an airport for deployment after you've been injected with God knows what to go in battle, God knows who, and God knows where, because many times you didn't know where. And your family didn't know where you were going because you couldn't tell them if you did know for security reasons. Understand, we need to honor our veterans because of their stand, but we also need to honor them because of their struggles. Because many of our veterans, like yourselves, have come home physically, but you may never have made it home mentally. Because it's hard to transition back into normal life. You see, the reason is because our government does a good job at training soldiers, but they don't do good jobs at training our soldiers how to become citizens again. Buzz Aldrin made the statement. He was one of the first men to land on the moon. And of course, Neil Armstrong walked on the moon. We know there were some men that walked there, and Buzz Aldrin made this statement. He said, NASA taught me how to live on the moon, but they never taught me how to live back on Earth again. And he struggled. After he came back, he got a divorce and his family went to pot and he lost just about everything that he had. Why did he have all those struggles? He was asked in an interview, he said, because NASA taught me how to live on the moon, but they didn't teach me how to live on Earth again. And that's what our government does. Our government does a job at training soldiers and teaching you how to live and how to survive and how to keep yourself alive in harm's way. But they don't always teach you how to transition back to normal life. And by the way, many of you know, going through our VA system and our government-funded health care, you don't get near the help that you need. Exactly right. You don't get near the treatments that you need as well. You see, many of our veterans have come home physically, but they have not mentally recovered from the events and everything they faced. You see, we honor those to whom honor is due because of their stand and because of their struggle. But thirdly, I want you to also understand that we honor those who deserve honor and we give them a reverence and we give them respect because of their sacrifice. Not just because of their stand, not just because of the struggles that they are facing, that they faced then and they are currently still facing, but also because of their sacrifice. You see, many of you, you can go back and you can retell stories of friends. Maybe friends that you joined the military with, maybe those that you went and signed up with. You went to the recruitment office and you thought it would be a good thing to go and to deploy together. And then you didn't realize that you may have to come home and tell his loved ones he wasn't coming back. You see, many of you lost friends in combat. Many today have lost their health through different events and through different things. I mentioned Brother Ron. Vietnam veteran. My grandpa was a Vietnam veteran. We used to have Brother Carl Ogdee come here and he preached missions conferences and revivals for us. He was a Vietnam veteran. He suffered from Agent Orange exposure. I can't begin to tell you the complications that many of them have because of that. And by the way, many of them haven't then and still struggle with today receiving 100% disability because sometimes our government doesn't recognize PTSD before a certain date. And just because our Vietnam veterans did not live or did not go in after that date that they go back to, they say that they don't have those specific problems. While the reality is, many of our Vietnam veterans were treated like animals when they came home. Many of our Vietnam veterans didn't get the respect and the care they deserved. When we finished World War II, our troops came home and there were parades that were given and they were treated as heroes. And many of you have seen the picture of the sailor dipping the girl in the street of New York City. And they were treated like they were heroes because they were. And they are. And you are as veterans. But there's some things that happened in our country because of the socialistic indoctrination that's been taking place over many, many decades. That when our military come back now, they're not received as heroes anymore. They don't get a hero's welcome. There are times where our heroes come home in a casket that's draped with an American flag, and they have a funeral. And sometimes there's a funeral and there's no one there. Because they're not received as a hero anymore. You see, there's a sacrifice that our veterans have given. Many have lost their friends in combat. Many have lost their health. I mentioned Agent Orange. There's also the biochemical testing that's been done to them and the training that they received through biochemical warfare training. And then every single drug and vaccination that the government decided to pump into you because they said it was necessary for different events. Many times it was against your own will because you were a property of the U.S. government. Amen, Brother Brandon, we talked about that here recently. That's right. Our Brother Thoreau shared with me several times where he had no idea what was being injected into him while he's sitting there waiting to be deployed. Because they got called and your unit may have to go somewhere. Many have sacrificed so much that they've lost their careers. They've lost their marriages. They try to come home and they found out their wife had cheated on them. They found out that their spouse wanted nothing to do with them. They've lost their marriage. Many of them lost their families because when they came home, they could not reconnect to society. They lost their children's youth and they lost seeing their children grow up. Many of them lost their limbs and they struggle with inabilities and handicaps. Some of them even lost their mobilities and still struggle today with different injuries they've received. Some of you right now as veterans, you are a walking miracle because of all that you've gone through. You see, our veterans have given up so much. Why? So that we could have so much. And we need to realize, I got two people that are following along with me. We need to realize that and we need to understand. Like I said, I understand this is a different message this morning. But we need to realize why we celebrate Veterans Day. We need to realize and recognize why we honor those that have given so much for us. Take your Bibles, go with me to Psalms chapter 91. I was doing some studying and I came to find that this specific psalm is labeled as the soldier's psalm. I don't know if you knew this or not, veterans. Psalms 91 is labeled and recognized by many as the soldier's psalm. It's a psalm that is referenced during times of battle, during times of struggle, and also during your life here. I want to read through these 16 verses and show you a couple of truths as well. Psalms 91, verse number 1, it says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Understand that as this is recognized as the soldier's psalm, there is security found only in Christ. You remember, and I believe, I don't know if they still do it, I know they did, whenever you would go to basic training, and you enlisted in the military, they would issue you a government-issued Bible. And it was many times that was one of the only things that you had. You had your code of conduct book and you had your Bible that you would study. Why? Because even though our government may not always say it, our government still was founded on the principles of God being first. Here in verse 2, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust." As a soldier, you understand what a refuge is. You understand what a fortress is. Those are military terms. A place of safety. A place of defense. But here it says, my God, in Him will I trust. You see, you were trained how to be a soldier. You were trained how to survive. But you can't do it on your own. You have to be able to trust in God. Verse 3, surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Again, those are defense terms. What is His truth? That is the Word of God. The Word of God will be your shield, will be your guide. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night. If you're struggling with some of these PTSD symptoms, you don't have to be afraid of those, but you need to get in the book. You need to get into the Word of God. The true healing takes place when you put God first in your life. And many of you have experienced that since salvation. You've experienced God begin to heal you. Some of you have even experienced where God has allowed you to come off of certain medications because of the changes that He's made in your life. Why? Because He heals. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. There's a heat of battle right here. Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall by thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Many of you had to make some sacrifices, and you've had to take some lives. Understand, you were doing it for the service of your country. And God recognizes that. Yes, I understand the Bible does say thou shalt not kill. And that is in reference to murder. That is not in reference to self-defense. Amen. That's in your Bible. God is a God of judgment. And God has many times commanded the land of Israel and the people of Israel, the children of Israel, to go and to kill those in the lands that they were conquering. And there are times where you've had to defend our freedom and you may have had to take a life. I can't begin to imagine how you've had to cope with that. Notice verse 8, only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. You see, when you can't rest in others' comfort, you can always rest in God's comfort. Verse 10, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Why? Here's the verse, verse 11. This is often what's pictured with soldiers and an angel over them. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. This is why this is referred to as a soldier's psalm. Because there are times where you've been in the heat of battle and you may have had bullets flying and you have wondered how you could hear the bullets going by you, but it didn't hit you. It's because He gave His angels charge over you. It wasn't your time yet. And God had protected you for such a time as this. Verse 12, they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Of course, that's in reference to Satan. You can conquer Satan's demons. And by the way, most of the anxiety and most of the depression and the things that you struggle with are demonic oppression in your life. The devil is attacking you. He's attacking your mind. And you can conquer that in your life. Verse 14, because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver Him. I will set Him on high, because He hath known my name. Notice verse 15 and 16, what God will do for you if you put Him first. He shall call upon me, notice, and I will answer Him. God says He would answer your prayers. He says, I will be with Him in trouble. God will comfort you during your hard times, during the times of your life where you've experienced things that nobody else has experienced, and you can't talk to certain people because they don't understand where you're coming from. The Bible says that God would be with you in that trouble, that God can heal that pain. Here, I will deliver Him and honor Him. God can deliver you from the struggles that you have. You see, many of our veterans have come home and they've been diagnosed with these different traumatic experiences. And the medical unit simply just puts a diagnosis on it, and the first thing they want to do is try to pump you full of medication to deal with it and to cope with it. And medication is not going to fix that. Going to God on that behalf and allowing God to heal you from the inside out will fix that. And here the Bible says, I will deliver him. God can deliver you from the demons that harassed you. God can deliver you from the things that you've experienced and nobody else quite understands. And then notice it says, and honor him. That goes back to our text verse, giving honor to whom honor. God says he would honor you, so it's just right for us to honor you as well. Look at verse 16. With long life will I satisfy him. God will be your satisfaction. And then it says, and show him my salvation. If you're not saved this morning, you understand that God wants to save you. And God wants to work in your life and God wants to do something great in your life. You say, well, Brother Terry, I understand you're addressing a lot of the veterans in here, and I've not ever fought for my country, and I've not defended things, and I may even still be a young person. What am I supposed to learn from this message? What am I supposed to do? Well, let me tell you. Here's some things you can do. You can be kind to a veteran. Amen. Gary, you're listening? You can be kind to veterans. Never mock or ridicule a veteran. You see those that are wearing a hat as a proud veteran, or recognizing the wars that they fought in, or recognizing the unit they served with, go up to them and say thank you for your service. Offer them a handshake. You know what else you can do? You can stand for the national anthem and the flag. Amen. I know we don't have a problem here in our church with that issue. And we don't have a major problem in our area, but understand there are people in our society. And we saw it very prevalent in the last 5-6 years. Where people don't want to stand for the national anthem. They don't want to stand for this flag. They say it represents racism, and it does not. It represents our freedoms. It represents our liberty. You understand this flag here? The red, the white, and the blue. You understand that that represents colors that represent God? I don't know if you've ever seen a spiritual application of your flag or not, but let me give it to you. Here we have the 50 states, the stars. Of course, that represents our states. You understand they're outlined in blue. Blue is a symbol of the heavens. Symbol of the heavens. We have 13 stripes on our flag that represent the 13 original colonies. You know, your Bible says, and this is not an over-spiritualization. Your Bible says, by His stripes we are healed. Have you ever noticed the stripes? There's 7 red and there's 6 white. You ever notice that on both top and bottom are the red stripes? Red represents blood. White represents purity, because in order to have purity in your heart, you've got to receive the blood of Christ. You ever thought about that? That even in the layout of our flag, the testimony of God was given. Most people don't even know that. And that's why they stomp on our flag. It's not because it represents racism. It's because it represents a God they want to defy. Amen. We should stand for our national anthem. We should stand for the flag. Understand that there are over 20 million American veterans in our country today. And we ought not try to insult them by our protests. By the way, what else can we do? We can be patriotic. Because, you know, being patriotic, it's not a political thing. By the way, people may not like this message because they don't think politics should be preached on the pulpit. Listen, being patriotic is not a political thing. It's an American thing. And we can be patriotic. Why? Because we live in America. Brother Brandon, you got that hat that says America. Why? Because America. That's why. Amen. I like it. That's why. America. There's a commercial that Ford has put out in reference to celebrating 250 years of America. And in the commercial, it says there's one thing we can't stop doing, and that's being American. Being patriotic. Because it's not political to be patriotic. It's American. Also, what can we do? We can respect our soldiers. We can respect our military. We can respect our veterans, our flag. We can even respect our national monuments. We live in a society today where there's a generation that thinks they can go and destroy national monuments. They think they can go and desecrate national monuments just because they didn't like what somebody may have stood for in history. Well, I'm sorry, you were taught history by a communist and you don't understand that. Amen. We ought to respect those that have given so much for us. By the way, people want to say that Robert E. Lee was a racist because he fought for the South in the Civil War. You understand Robert E. Lee never owned a slave? Robert E. Lee fought for the South because he believed in states' rights. The Civil War wasn't over slavery. It was over states' rights. And it was because the North was taxing the South over 40% taxes. By the way, what's our tax rate today? Sounds awfully familiar. Moving forward. Next, how else can we respect those that have given so much? We can do our part as U.S. citizens and we can get out and vote and protect the freedoms that they fought for and died for. But you know what else we can do? We can make it our job and our responsibility to share with them the good grace of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, what's sad is many of our veterans, they've taken a stand. Many of our veterans are facing struggles today. Many of our veterans have given their ultimate sacrifice. But understand, if they don't receive Christ as their personal Savior, they're still going to die in split hell wide open. Regardless of all the good things they've done. Because those good deeds don't save you. Only Jesus Christ does. And it's our responsibility to share with them the good grace of God. It's our responsibility to tell them that even though they've sacrificed so much for us, there was somebody that sacrificed much more for them. And that's Jesus Christ. And we've got to share with them the love of God. And we've got to share with them what Christ has done. And many of you, I know you know this, but if there's someone in here today that's never trusted Christ as their personal Savior, you can get that settled today. Especially those of you that have sacrificed as veterans, if you never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, you can do that today. And God can begin to heal the hurt that you face. You see, we can't make it to heaven on our own. The Bible says that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says because of our sin that we have to die and go to hell. Romans chapter 6, verse number 23, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And God sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to die and to pay sin's penalty for us. And just like our veterans sacrificed for our freedom, you understand that Jesus Christ sacrificed for your salvation. And all we have to do is trust in Him. Not trust in the works that we have done, not trust in the good deeds that we have done, but to trust in Him and His finished work alone. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession's made unto salvation. You may be thinking, well, I've done too much and God can't save an old sinner like me. No, the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse number 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. See, it doesn't matter about what you have done. All that matters is what are you going to do with the truth? Are you going to receive it or not? We've got to make sure that we take that time, that opportunity to call on Christ and allow Him to save us. Stand with me with heads bowed, with eyes closed this morning. Today is the day where we're going to set aside and honor our veterans. They did take a stand. Yes, they do face struggles. Yes, they have made a sacrifice. Yes. But all of it is for naught if they die and go to hell without their Savior, Jesus Christ. There's got to be a time and place in your life where you trust Christ as your personal Savior. And with heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, I have one question for everyone in here. If you were to die today, are you 100% sure that you'd go to heaven? Or do you have some doubt? How many of you say, Brother Terry, I know that I know that I know I'm going to heaven when I die. I have no doubt. Would you raise your hand? Hands all over the room. Thank God for you. You can put them down. God bless you. I'm glad you know that. But maybe there was somebody in here that couldn't raise their hand. And with heads bowed and eyes closed and nobody looking around, I want you to know that there's a church here that loves you and cares for you. And we want to show you how you can get saved as well and how you can experience the things that we've experienced. You say, Brother Terry, I don't know. I might have a little bit of doubt. I'm just not sure if I were to die today, if I'd go to heaven. Would you just raise your hand? I want to pray for you. Is there anybody in the room like that? I see that hand. God bless you. I see that hand back there. God bless you. Is there anybody else? anyone else. With heads bowed, with eyes closed, the two of you that raised your hand, if you would look at me, I want you to know I'm going to pray for you. But if you're serious and if you want to know Christ as your personal Savior, I've got some men that can talk to you and show you how you can trust Christ. And if you want to trust Christ this morning, you can. Brother Nick's up here. I've got Brother Thoreau as well. If you want to make your way out, man, I would love for them to show you from the Word of God how you can go to heaven when you die. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we love you. Lord, I pray that you'd work in the hearts of these that have raised their hand. There's a couple in here that said they don't know if they're going to heaven. God, my prayer is that they get saved. My prayer is they trust you. There's so much that we need in life, and salvation is the main thing.